Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ.
Today, our text is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and following. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has given us the victory over death. The Bible tells us that at the moment of death, He is there. Psalm 23 says that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. What great truths these are for believers in Jesus Christ.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I wondered how He could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous and how wonderful, and my song shall end. My sorrows, and He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous and how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Good day. Thank you for joining our Moments from the Mission Field, with interviews and stories about how the Lord's work is reaching out globally through the agency of Mission Go.
This week, as we honor Father's Day, it's essential to reflect on the unique challenges faced by missionaries serving in the Middle East. In many Arabic families, fathers traditionally hold a position of authority and leadership, guiding cultural practices, values, and religious beliefs. This patriarchal structure can make the journey to faith in Christianity particularly complex. For many individuals in these cultures, converting to Christianity is not merely a personal choice. It can result in profound familial consequences, including potential rejection from their fathers and family members. A son or daughter embracing a new faith may be seen as challenging the very foundation of the family's identity and traditions. This can lead to an emotional and spiritual upheaval as new believers grapple with the loss of familial ties and the potential for ostracization. Missionaries have a crucial role in navigating these dynamics. Their work often begins with building authentic relationships grounded in respect and understanding. By engaging with families and communities, missionaries can reflect the love of a Heavenly Father, offering a message of hope that resonates even in a climate of resistance. They tread a delicate balance, sharing the gospel while honoring the importance of family relationships and cultural values. During this Father's Day, as we celebrate the love and leadership of earthly fathers, let us also recognize the greater love that our Heavenly Father extends to all. It is a love that seeks to transform lives, a love that is steadfast despite challenges and opposition. I invite everyone to pause and pray for missionaries operating in these challenging environments. Your prayers provide not only spiritual support, but also the encouragement and strength they need as they seek to share the hope of the gospel. May we all aspire to mirror the love of our Heavenly Father in our lives, extending grace and compassion to those around us, especially in cultures where faith can be a source of conflict.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour and for your prayer and financial support over these years. This month, we are offering Putting an X Through Anxiety by Louis Giglio. Anxiety is dead, but it's still deadly. Anxiety may be fear over your shoulder, worry by your side, or dread hanging over your life. For many, it's a mighty giant that would like you to believe your life will never be the same again. A giant that traps you in darkness and defeat. But you can live free from anxiety. Knowing firsthand the reality of the battle of anxiety, Pastor Louis Giglio shares practical and spiritual ways to walk in freedom. With encouragement and hope, he unfolds the truth in the paradox that anxiety is dead but still deadly. Namely, there is one whose power has already won the battle. This helpful resource will show you how to put an X through anxiety using the strongest of weapons, the cross of Jesus. write for your copy to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14,231.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is on the topic of faith. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today I would like to look at some aspects of faith from the Holy Scriptures. We know faith is important, for God's Word says we can only be saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We also know that Scripture says without faith it's impossible to please God. So we need to learn to live by faith, to walk by faith, to pray in faith, to grow in faith, and so forth. Jesus said to his disciples, "Have faith in God," Mark 11:22. So faith is essential in the Christian life. Faith, simply put, is believing and trusting God through His Word. In the Bible, God has revealed Himself, His character, His laws, for our instruction. So let us turn to the Scriptures then to learn a little about this subject. I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This is often called the faith chapter, and there's much teaching about faith in it. Let us begin reading at verse 1, Hebrews 11. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Then the chapter goes on to name the great people of faith who did exceptional things for God. such as Noah and Abraham or Moses. And then later in the chapter, it speaks of those who remain committed to God in spite of deep adversity. There's much to look at here, but I'd like to turn to the opening verses briefly to set the stage for our study today. First, we see faith described. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." These two words are significant, substance and evidence. The Greek scholar Vincent says that the word translated substance has the meaning of title deeds. Now, when we own a home, the title deed, it brings us confidence and assurance. For no one can then say, well, you don't belong here or you cannot live here. The title deed is a proof of ownership. Faith is our title deed, which guarantees us all the future blessings that God has promised. Then it says, faith is evidence of things not seen. That is, the proof, conviction, or the certainty of things not seen. So faith is not some warm, tingly, fuzzy feeling, but it's something of substance and evidence by which the unseen things of God become real and important to us. The second verse shows faith experienced, for it says, by it, that is faith, the elders obtained a good report. So a life of faith is not impossible, for the great elders or the great men of Israel's past history all experienced it. They lived lives of faith. So can we. Which brings us to verse 3. Through faith we understand. It's now our turn. God provides faith. Others have experienced it. Now the writer says we need to exercise it. Why? Because through faith we gain understanding or knowledge. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand. True understanding or knowledge then comes by faith in God's word. First we see that understanding comes concerning creation, for verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. What is the truth concerning the origins of the universe? Well, God spoke and they came into being. For Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 14, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature. And it was so. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth cattle, creeping thing, and beast after his kind. And it was so. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. Friends, the true origin of life, the world, and the universe is the powerful creative word of the eternal God. God spoke, and it was done. Faith says, I will believe what God has said concerning creation. But God's word reveals the truth about many more things. Some of them are perplexing questions that face mankind. Why cannot man live in peace? Why is there such wickedness in the world? Is there anything that, or I should say, if there is anything that we don't need to be convinced of, surely it's the wickedness of man. For every day, the newspapers, radio, and TV are filled with accounts of murder, robbery, adultery, and violence in one way or another of man to man. Why is this? God's word says, Romans 5 and 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So then, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This account, or the account of Adam and Eve in the garden, then, is the true account of man's fall and the subsequent passage of a sinful nature onto all mankind. God's word warns us clearly, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18 and 4, or the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. The real nature of man And his condition before God is stated clearly in Romans 3 and 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Faith says, I will believe God's word, that man has sinned and is separated from God, unable to find God or to please God. Happily, Scripture does not end in this dark note, but clearly details God's gracious provision of forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is much controversy about Christ today. Who was he? What did he do, or what didn't he do? Much of this questioning has resulted from the modern book and movie, The Da Vinci Code. These are purportedly based upon some obscure manuscript written after the time of Christ and claiming that Christ did not die on the cross, but that he secretly fled to France with Mary Magdalene and so forth. The question is why anyone would believe some obscure manuscripts that obviously were rejected as legitimate by the traditional church, rather than believe those who were eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus and who wrote about him at the time. God says the Scriptures are his holy word, so let God be true and every man a liar. The holy Scriptures of God tell us clearly that Jesus was God's Son, that he came in the flesh, that he was born of a virgin, lived a holy life, and died on the cross to pay for the sin of all mankind. The Apostle Peter, a disciple of Jesus, said, Christ bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter 2:22. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Furthermore, in Acts 1 and 9, it says that Christ, after appearing for 40 days to his disciples, Scripture says he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while the disciples looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. It's absurd to say that Christ secretly went to France. God says he ascended up into heaven and will return one day in like manner as they saw him go. Faith says, I will believe God's word, that Christ came, died for the sins of the world, and by coming to Christ I can be forgiven, cleansed, and made a child of God's eternal family. Acts 16:31 says, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Friends, I would urge you not to follow the foolish fables of men, but to open your heart to the living Christ today and believe to the saving of your soul. Then, too, God's word gives us understanding concerning the eternity to come. Men have questioned man's destiny from the beginning of time. The book of Job, probably the oldest book of the Bible, records the question asked in his day. If a man die, shall he live again? Is this life all there is? Is there an eternal existence ahead? God's word clearly reveals the answer. For those who repent and receive God's Son, there is a blessed eternal life. For Jesus said in John 10:27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The scriptures also say in 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, writing, says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Faith says, "I will believe the word of God and will look joyfully to the coming of Christ and to all the joys of eternal life with him." The scriptures also reveal the truth of a coming judgment for unbelievers. Scripture says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment," Hebrews 9:27. So death does not end all, even for the unbeliever. Jesus himself warned unbelievers of his day in the parable of the tares in Matthew 13, verse 41. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and all which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." What a terrible time for unbelievers. The scriptures give many solemn warnings to all rejecters of God's Christ. I hope that you will heed them, and it's our prayer today that you will be moved to faith, saving faith, which will bring you to forgiveness, the cleansing from sin, and to eternal rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is important. Someone has said, "Faith in God sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible." Brethren, let us then learn to have faith in God.
I'm sure the Lord used this message from God's Word to encourage you and to help you grow in your faith. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're always concerned that someone who may be listening has never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures are really clear. They say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They claim that the wages or the payment for your sin is eternal damnation. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also teaches that as many as received Christ, unto them gave he the right to become the children of God. If you want to become a member of the family of God, if you want your sins forgiven, you need to receive Jesus Christ in your heart. You can do that by praying a simple prayer and asking him to become part of your life. And if you're sincere in that prayer, he will. The Bible says that, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new." That can be something that happens to you today if you just bow your head and ask Jesus to come into your life.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour and for your prayer and financial support over these years. This month, we are offering Putting an X Through Anxiety by Louis Giglio. Anxiety is dead, but it's still deadly. Anxiety may be fear over your shoulder, worry by your side, or dread hanging over your life. For many, it's a mighty giant that would like you to believe your life will never be the same again. A giant that traps you in darkness and defeat. But you can live free from anxiety. Knowing firsthand the reality of the battle of anxiety, Pastor Loic Giglio shares practical and spiritual ways to walk in freedom. With encouragement and hope, he unfolds the truth in the paradox that anxiety is dead but still deadly. Namely, there is one whose power has already won the battle. This helpful resource will show you how to put an X through anxiety using the strongest of weapons, the cross of Jesus. Write for your copy to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.